Welcome back to CTC. I am your gracious host, Carl, and I'm back for the Week 8 recap. And we had a couple upsets. We had a lot of good games, man. Just another great week of college football, Week 8 in the books. And we're getting closer and closer to championship week. And, man, it's been a wild ride. It's been a great ride. It's been just a fantastic college football year. Before I get into these recaps, I would like to ask you to leave a like, comment, or subscribe if you like the content on this channel, this show, or any of our other shows. We have the main show featuring Joe, Tomo, and Dave. We have BWT, who just went live 30 minutes before I did and had an excellent show recapping postseason MLB baseball. We have FFC Fantasy with Coach Coombs, where he gives you who to start, who to sit. He answers your questions live now. So if you have any fantasy football questions, that's the show to go to. We have the Joe Jordan Show, where he talks about hot topics in sports. And then we have Dave's Doghouse, where he creates dogs, and then he puts dogs in the doghouse. So if you want to see a player that you think performed terribly, didn't perform well at all, or if you want to nominate a guy who you thought balled out, listen to Dave's Doghouse. And that's where you can get all that. That's where you can get that from. But with that being said, we're gonna hop right into these recaps. I ain't gonna hold y'all because I know it's NFL Sunday. My Ravens got a big game against the Lions tonight. I normally talk trash, but I'm a Lions supporter. My mom's a Lions fan, so I root for the Lions. So it hurts that this is probably the best I've seen the Lions play in my life. And we gotta play them this year. Like, I just want to sit back and root from the sidelines, but I can't do that, unfortunately. So Gotta hope the Lions lose today. But let's get into these recaps. And we have our first recap of the day. Oh, excuse me. So if y'all don't know, I went live Thursday to preview Saturday after Thursday Night Football. So I previewed Saturday then, and I also recapped from Tuesday to Thursday. So all recaps from Week 8 of Tuesday through Thursday are on that Thursday night episode. So these recaps will include Friday in the games I previewed on Saturday. Now, with that being said, we have the SMU at Temple recap, which we're not going to say much about this game because, boy, that was a sleep. That was a snooze fest Friday night. Final score, SMU 55, Temple 0. SMU, they started the game with a fumble and a punt, but after that, we scored on the next 4 of 5 drives, 3 being touchdowns, 1 obviously being a field goal. And then one was a punt, I believe. Temple, their first half drives consisted of 4 3-and-outs, another punt, turnover on downs, all in the first half. So SMU starts the second half forcing a 3-and-out. So Temple again goes 3-and-out. But then they take the ensuing punt to the crib. They take that punt to the house for a touchdown. Then they scored on every drive in the second half after that. So 3 touchdowns, 4 including the punt return. A field goal, the only drive they didn't score on was to end the game. They were just trying to end the game. They weren't trying to score. They were just trying to get the game over with. It was 55-0. Don't rub salt in the wound. Just get out of here. Now, Temple, in the second half, their drives went like this. Punt, punt, missed field goal, punt, interception, turnover on downs. So SMU dominated the game. Also, little note here that EJ Warner did not play. So that was also huge for Temple. Temple might have scored a touchdown or two. But yeah, EJ Warner did not play. But we're not going to waste too much time on that. We're going to move on to our next game. We had number 7, Penn State, at number 3, Ohio State. And this game was a defensive slugfest, just like all in Big Ten fashion. Final score, Penn State 12, Ohio State 20. I know I told y'all to take the Penn State at 5.5. I took it. And we were looking good through most of the game. Then we'll get into the game. So first, Penn State gets the ball, goes 3-and-out and punt. Ohio State starts with a 33-yard field goal set up by Marvin Harrison Jr. He had 3 catches on the drive, all 3 catches for first downs. With 5:15 left in the first quarter, Penn State kicks a 40-yard field goal to tie it. Then with 9:20 left in the second quarter, Penn State has a sack touchdown called back because of a holding on Kalen King, which was the right call. He held Marvin Harrison on the top of the route. So wipes off a defensive touchdown for Penn State. That leads to a 2-yard Mayan Williams touchdown run. So Ohio State goes up 10-3. Penn State answers with a 41-yard field goal. Ohio State starts the second half with a 3-and-out. Penn State starts the second half with a punt. And then with 2:12 left in the third quarter, Ohio State turnover on downs, 4th and goal. Pass is complete, but stops short of the end zone. Leads to a Penn State 3-and-out punt, however. But during the punt, Penn State punts the ball. And the ball clips the heel of Lorenzo Styles. Penn State recovers the muffed punt because technically Ohio State touched it. But that only leads to Penn State going 3-and-out and punting again. So massive momentum swing there, but didn't result to anything. They punt the ball again. And Ohio State then scores a 37-yard field goal, which was set up by Marvin Harrison Jr., 28-yard catch, and a Cade Stover, 29-yard catch. So Penn State then gets the ball and has a turnover on downs. Drew a long pass incomplete on 4th and 4. Leads to an 18-yard touchdown catch by Marvin Harrison Jr., who had a phenomenal game. Remember that name? Penn State, turnover on downs, 4th and 30. Drew a long sack. Leads to an Ohio State 45-yard field goal miss. That leads to an 8-yard touchdown pass to Caden Saunders, but the 2-point is no good. Ohio State recovers the onside kick and kneels the game out. And that'd be your ball game. Ohio State just straight up dominated this game. Penn State offense looked trash. It did not look good. Drew Aller did not look good. They couldn't get anything going. Could not establish any type of drive. Like I said, even with the momentum swing, still went 3-0. Ohio State defense was dominating. Now, I do want to give a bright spot. And I seen it throughout the first half. Day-Day Hardy was balling in the first half. I know one of the pass deflections he had was a bad ball by Kyle McCord, but he still was balling. They was testing him at first. They kind of started to leave him alone, but Day-Day was balling. Drew Aller has to figure it out, man. This is Penn State's first real test. I understand they play Iowa. I understand they play West Virginia, who we'll talk about later, but this was their first real test, and it did not look good for Penn State. Now, Ohio State, on the other hand, defensively, like I said before the season, they look way better defensively. This is Jim Knowles' second year with his unit. Pitched a really good game. Gave up a late touchdown late in the game, but extraordinary game from this defense. Penn State has a nice bounce back game against Indiana, though. So, I mean, we won't really read too much into it, but it's a nice bounce back. So, moving on, we go to at Navy Military Academy. The under in this game was never a doubt. I think the under was like 33.5. Final score of this game, 22nd ranked Air Force. Don't want to disrespect them. Final score of this game was 17-6. Navy scored a garbage touchdown late, but we'll get into it. So Air Force, 42-yard field goal is no good to start. Converted to 4th and 1 and had a 34-yard Jerry Rosnow's reception. I know I said Air Force ain't going to throw the ball. They came out and threw the ball. Leads to a 3-and-out punt. Oh, also, Zach Luria did play. Now, earlier in the week, I saw something where he was not playing, but he played. With 2:24 left in the first quarter, Air Force Aiden Calvert fumbles, leads to a Navy punt. Then Air Force gets the ball back at the 6 and has a 94-yard touchdown pass. Not touchdown run. Touchdown pass to Dane Kinnaman. The Navy start. That will be it for the first half. It'll be 7-0 at half. Navy starts the second half with the ball and goes 3-and-out and punts. Air Force starts with the second half, 3-and-out and punt. With 5:55 left in the third, Air Force scores a 40-yard field goal. Air Force then misses a 35-yard field goal, which leads to a Navy punt. Then Ty Levitard comes in the game, and he throws a pick. But Air Force gets a 3-and-out. I mean, Air Force then only goes 3-and-out and punt. Then Ty Levitard throws a pick 6. Comes in the game and throws 2 picks. But then Navy, after the pick 6, will go down and score the touchdown, a 10-yard touchdown pass to Eli Heinrich. And the 2-point is no good. No idea why they went for 2. They did go on and kick an onside kick. And Air Force recovers to nail the ball out. And that'd be your ball game. Don't know why they went for 2 there. You were down 11. Actually, for all my gamblers, I believe the spread was 10.5. The field goal would have led to a backdoor, Navy backdoor in the spread. But they went for two. And Air Force, I think, still cleared the spread. So if you're an Air Force better at minus 10.5, you were happy. If you were a Navy better plus 10.5, you were pissed. And I don't blame you. But Air Force obviously dominated this game. They were able to move the ball. It was just stupid mistakes hurt them. The fumble, missed field goals. The score should have been a lot worse than what it actually was. Giving up the garbage touchdown. Air Force dominated. They're clearly the best military academy. Clearly the better team in this game. As for Navy, they got to figure it out. They got to figure it out, man. And that's all I can really say about Navy. They really have to figure it out. So we move on to our last game on the noon slot. And what a game it was. We had Dillon Gabriel going against his former team, UCF at Oklahoma. Final score, 29-31. Sixth-ranked Oklahoma pulls out the W. UCF, I think, has now lost four straight. UCF gets ball first, goes three and out and punts. Oklahoma gets the ball and does the same thing, three and out and punt. Now, Oklahoma scores a 38-yard field goal, which is no good, which would be one of two misses of the game for Schmidt. Leads to a three and out punt, though. Nah, Dave, Miami game is like second to last in the recaps. I'm going to order by time slot. You good. You good. Just sit, hang with your boy. Let me get this back up here real quick. So, Oklahoma then misses the field goal. UCF punts. Now, Oklahoma scores a Nick Anderson 29-yard touchdown catch set up by a shanked punt. Then Oklahoma misses a 43-yard field goal, which is Schmidt's second of the game. Leads to a 1-yard John Rice Plumlee touchdown run, which was set up by a 54-yard R.J. Harvey run and a sportsmanlike conduct after the run with sprint draw, which was money for UCF. It was money twice for UCF. The third time didn't go so well. UCF then gets a 21-yard field goal set up by a 23-yard Kobe Hudson catch. Oklahoma answers with a 42-yard Nick Anderson touchdown catch. UCF then answers with an 86-yard touchdown pass to Javon Baker. Down the sideline, ran some sort of play action for the defense was wide open. Oklahoma answers with a 25-yard field goal, interception overturned by a defensive pass interference. So he did throw a pick, but it was a DPI, turned it over, led to a field goal. Then Oklahoma starts the second half with an actual interception, which leads to a 48-yard field goal by UCF. UCF then scores a 46-yard field goal to go up 23-17. With 9:16 left in the fourth, Oklahoma scores an 11-yard Drake Stoops touchdown catch. Then Oklahoma scores a 30-yard touchdown run by Gavin Sawcheck to go up 31-23. Then UCF answers with a 4th-and-10 Javon Baker 12-yard touchdown reception. But the 2-point is no good. Try to get cute on the 2-point conversion. I believe ran like a double pass or like a reverse pass. It was shut down. The 2-point no good. The touchdown was set up by a 39-yard Randy Pittman reception on 3rd-and-15. Now Oklahoma recovers the onside kick, nails out the game, and that be your ball game. Like I said, Oklahoma UCF was a banger. To be honest, in the middle of the halves, the game was more so defensive. Like, all those touchdowns and scores you heard me rattle off was, like, towards the end of each half. Like, I believe at one point the score was, like, 7-7 or, like, 10-7. Then we just had offensive explosions towards the end of the half. Was made the score, like, 17-17 at the half. Then it was, like, 17-23 throughout a lot of the game. And then towards the end of the game, Oklahoma scores 2 touchdowns. UCF gets the touchdown, goes for 2 to try to win it. And they just don't, I mean, not to try to win it, try to tie it, to send it to OT. They just don't get it. But this game was actually defensive throughout in between the halves. From 15 of the first and third to like triple zeros of the second and fourth was really defensive. So, really good game. Oklahoma is now 7-0. Do I think they're going to drop in the polls? I think the committee, if they do start this week, will drop them in the polls because they're trying to get Alabama raised. And we'll talk about Alabama coming up shortly. Oh, speaking of Alabama, we got an Alabama football, Maryland basketball fan here. But, yeah, I mean, great win by Oklahoma. UCF in a loss showed great effort, But will it carry over? Who knows? We'll move on, though, to our next game and our first game in the afternoon slot or evening slot. And that'd be Oklahoma State at West Virginia. And this was also a banger of a game. But Oklahoma State wins. I picked West Virginia. Oklahoma State wins 48-34 on the back of Ollie Gordon. Just major performance alert. Major performance alert. You'll hear stats at the end of the show. But let's get into the game. West Virginia gets the ball first, goes three and out, punts, but the ball is muffed by Brennan Presley and is recovered by West Virginia, which leads to a West Virginia Cole Taylor fumble. And Oklahoma State recovers the fumble. The defender just punches the ball out. It's one of the, I know I call fumbles fluke, but this is one of the times it was actually a skillful fumble. Punched the ball, knocked it out, recovered it. And that led to a 37-yard field goal by Oklahoma State. And I feel you. I'm already know. I'm just giving you a little trash talk. That's all one. I got you. I already know what it is. So after the field goal, West Virginia Gary Green throws an interception. He just lobs it up right to the defender. Leads to a 2-yard Ollie Gordon touchdown run. One of his four touchdowns in the day. Then West Virginia answers with a 3-yard Justin Johnson touchdown run set up by a defensive pass interference. West Virginia then scores a 34-yard field goal to tie the game at 10-10. The Oklahoma State answers with a 29-yard field goal set up by a Jaden Brave catch. And then West Virginia will answer with a 45-yard touchdown pass to Devin Carter on a just wide open down the middle. Oklahoma State misses a 31-yard field goal at to end the half. So West Virginia goes up 17-13. Both teams start second half with a punt. Then Oklahoma State, Allen Bowman throws an interception, but it only leads to a 3-and-out punt. Then Oklahoma State scores a Jaden Brave 5-yard touchdown pass, catch. West Virginia answers with a 32-yard E.J. Horton touchdown catch. Oklahoma State punts the ball, but then West Virginia says, it's my turn to muff it. They ball is muffed, recovered by Oklahoma State. Leads to a 16-yard touchdown run by Ollie Gordon. West Virginia then answers with a 29-yard field goal, but Oklahoma State answers with a 29-yard Brennan Presley touchdown catch. Then with West Virginia on fourth and one turnover on downs, Gary Green runs for a loss of four, leads to a 46-yard Ollie Gordon touchdown run. West Virginia answers with a 3-yard C.J. Donaldson touchdown run set up by Preston Fox, 34-yard catch to cut it to one touchdown. But after Oklahoma State recovers the onside kick, Ollie Gordon said, I got y'all, and rushes for a 53-yard touchdown run to ice the game. West Virginia turnover on downs, fourth and five, pass incomplete, leads to the end of the game. And that's your ball game. And all I have to really say about this game is Ollie Gordon. These last 3 weeks have been incredible. He is on an incredible tear. Great game against Kansas State. Great game against Kansas. Phenomenal game here yesterday. He is looking unstoppable right now for this Oklahoma State offense. Both teams had each traded a pick. Both teams traded a muff punt. The game was fairly even throughout until Ollie Gordon broke through and was clearly the best player in this game. I know I said in my preview, C.J. Donaldson has to be the best back. He wasn't even the best back on his team. Justin Jackson looked really, really, really good running the rock for West Virginia. But Ollie Gordon was clearly, like I said, the best player in this game. Oklahoma State defense late made plays. Fourth down, like I said, loss of four. Just making plays in the backfield, things like that. Oklahoma State is actually looking like a team to look out for in the Big 12 now. I know as soon as I hop on the Oklahoma State train, they're going to derail. But, man, this team looks good the last 3 weeks. Moving on to a ranked versus ranked game. Another banger. Tennessee at Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Final score, 17th ranked Tennessee 20. 11th ranked Alabama 34. Alabama wins by two touchdowns after being down with 21-7 or 20-7 at halftime. Come back, pitches a shutout to win, scores 27 unanswered. So, Tennessee gets the ball first, scores a 39-yard Squirrel White touchdown catch, goes up early. Alabama starts with a three and out punt. Then with 2 minutes left in the first quarter, Tennessee scores a 24-yard field goal. Then Alabama, Jalen Milroe, gets sacked and fumbles. Tennessee recovers. It leads to a 26-yard field goal. You have to turn that into points against Alabama. With 7:05 left in the second quarter, Bama scores a 10-yard Jermaine Burton touchdown catch to go down 13-7. But then Tennessee turns the ball over on downs, fourth and inches. Joe Milton is stuffed on a run. Leads to a Jalen Milroe interception, which leads to a McCollin Castle six-yard touchdown catch set up by Ramel Keaton, 30-yard catch, 50-50 ball, went up and got it. Alabama starts the second half with a deep shot. I said it in my preview. Burton or Bond has to get the deep ball. It was Bond. Isaiah Bond, 46-yard touchdown catch. Tennessee starts the second half with a punt. Alabama then scores a 41-yard field goal. Tennessee, turnover on downs, 4th and 1. Dylan Sampson runs and is stuffed. Turnover, which leads to a 5-yard Jace McClellan touchdown run, set up by a 22-yard Jermaine Burton catch. Alabama then scores a 50-yard field goal. Then Tennessee, Joe Milton is sacked and fumbled. And Jahad Campbell scoops it and scores it for a touchdown. Tennessee turns the ball up on downs, 4th and 10. Pass incomplete. Leads to a 3-and-out punt. But that would be your ball game. Alabama, like I said, pitches a shutout in the second half. Scores 27 unanswered. Offense picked up. Offense actually looked really well in the second half. It was sputtering in the first half. Tennessee looked to run away with this. But again, you're in Tuscaloosa. You're in Alabama. All it takes is one momentum shift to change the game. And that's what happened. Joe Milton didn't look bad, however. I will not put this game on Joe Milton. It did not look bad. I just think Alabama's the better team, and they showed it later in the second half. Bama, undefeated in SEC play. Only losses to Texas. Look out for Bama. They're going to be in the play for the playoffs if they keep this up, if they beat LSU. If they beat LSU and win the SEC West, and then Brock Bowers isn't there for Georgia in the SEC East Championship game, oh, Lord, y'all going to hate it, but Bama's going to be right there in the mix. But we move on to our next game, Pac-12 play. We have Washington State at Oregon, and in the first half, it was very competitive. Oregon pulls away late second half. Final score, Washington State 24, ninth-ranked Oregon 38. Washington State gets the ball first and punts. Oregon starts with a 47-yard field goal miss, which leads to a 36-yard field goal make for Washington State. Oregon then answers with a 27-yard field goal set up by Tez Johnson, 46-yard catch. Then Washington State with 9:22 left in the second quarter scores a 4-yard Nakia Watson touchdown run. But Oregon answers with a 2-yard Bucky Irvin touchdown run set up by a 37-yard Jordan James run. Washington State turnover on downs, 4th and 3. Trick play. They run a trick play. It fails. Leads to a 2-yard Bo Nix touchdown run set up by Bucky Irvin, 40-yard run. Washington State answers with a 33-yard field goal set up by Cal Williams, 41-yard catch. And that'll be your halftime score, 17-13. Both teams punt to start the second half. But Oregon then scores a 42-yard Bucky Irvin touchdown catch, just burns the defense. Washington State then scores a 50-yard field goal. Oregon answers with a 43-yard Bucky Irvin touchdown run. He said I could do it through the air and through the ground. Washington State, turnover on downs, 4th and 7. Cam Ward pass incomplete. Leads to a 17-yard Tez Johnson touchdown catch. Then Washington State, 4th and 1. Turnover on downs. Cam Ward is sacked, holding on to the ball too long, trying to wait to make a play. Leads to a 3-and-out punt. Then Washington State will score a 16-yard Isaiah Hamilton touchdown catch. 2-point would be good to make the score a little closer. Oregon recovers the onside kick, and that'd be your ball game. Now, Cam Ward looked better. He didn't look like Cam Ward of the first 4 weeks, but he didn't look like Cam Ward of the last 2 weeks either. So he looks better. Not as many touchdowns, but Oregon at home is just a really great football team. I don't want to say a juggernaut. Don't want to say unstoppable, but at home, they are way different. It is hard to beat this Oregon team at home. They have so many weapons. Justin James and Bucky Irvin ran the ball great. Tez Johnson was getting open. Troy Franklin was getting open. Bo Nix had a good game. That was just too much for this Washington State football team at the end of the day. They tried their hardest to fight and make it a close game, but too many turnovers on downs. They couldn't keep up. They could not keep up with this Oregon offense. And so we go to our last evening slot game until we get into the late night. We have Battle of the Maction Top Teams. Toledo at Miami of Ohio, both undefeated in Maction play. Both only lost was week one. Toledo lost to Illinois. Miami of Ohio lost to the real Miami, Miami University, the U. And Miami of Ohio will lose to Toledo, as I picked Toledo to win 21-17 at home. Try to rally, try to come back, just didn't have enough. Also, Brett Gabbert got hurt in the third quarter, got carried off in the hospital. Me in the ambulance. Prayers up to Brett Gabbert, man. Get well soon. Hope everything is fine this morning. But let's get into the game. Both teams start the game with a punt. Toledo then scores a 3-yard touchdown pass to Devin Maddox. Miami of Ohio answers with a 20-yard field goal set up by Rashad Amos Runs. He was running hard that entire drive. Can't pinpoint one run. It was all of them. Then Toledo answers with a Daquan Finn 1-yard touchdown run. Converted a 4th-and-4 and scored on 4th-and-goal at the 1. Toledo then scores a 20-yard touchdown pass to Anthony Torres. So your score at half will be 21-3. And I'm thinking, yeah, Toledo got this. The game is over. But Toledo starts the second half with a punt. And Miami of Ohio starts the second half with a 2-yard Kenny Tracy touchdown run set up by a personal foul. And I'm like, okay, it's one touchdown. It's not, you still have two possessions. This offense has been money. They got a rhythm. It's fine. Toledo doesn't do anything. Miami of Ohio gets the ball back, throws an interception. Brett Gabbert throws a pick, leads to a 3-and-out punt. And I'm like, oh, they got a pick. Didn't do nothing with it. Didn't even get a first down. Uh-oh. Then Miami of Ohio will get the ball back after the punt, scores a 2-yard Rashad Amos touchdown run, which they converted a 4th-and-1 to get. Brett Gabbert got hurt on this drive right here, trying to get a touchdown. He ran the play before, trying to extend for a touchdown. Didn't get it. Got hurt. And now I'm like, it's a 4-point game. This offense hasn't done anything in the second half. Toledo's in trouble. But like I said, Brett Gabbert is hurt, and we don't want these things to happen. But it's an unfortunate thing to happen because that was honestly what probably was best for Toledo, because after that, Miami of Ohio offense really couldn't get anything going. It becomes a punt fest after that touchdown set up by Brett Gabbert before getting hurt. It was 5 punts in between that touchdown and the last 120 drive where Avion Smith scrambles, loses the football. He just lost the ball. And Toledo recovers the fumble. And that'd be a ball game. Like I said, in between that was 7 punts and a fumble. 7 punts, a fumble. And the last quarter of the game, like I said, was that touchdown where Brett got hurt with 1:19 left in the third quarter. So Toledo escapes. They escape with one. Like I said, praise up to Brett Gabbert. Hopefully everything is fine. But yeah, Toledo escaped. Offense first half looked amazing. Defense looked amazing. Second half, it looked like Miami of Ohio found something. Toledo couldn't get nothing going on offense. But they escaped with the win. And it's ugly, but you'll take it. And so Toledo is now the only unbeaten in Maction. Miami of Ohio suffers his first loss in Maction play. So Toledo, I think I picked them to win the MAC again. Or win the MAC. I think they lost to Ohio last year. And I'm still looking good there. We got our first night game. We have Duke at Florida State. 16th-ranked Duke at 4th-ranked Florida State. Riley Leonard did play this game, but would later re-injure his ankle and would not return. Final score, Duke 20, Florida State 38. And I know I told y'all to take the plus 14.5. I took it, and we got screwed, okay? Mike Elko, I'll get into it after the game. Just know if you took it because of me, you took the 14.5. We got screwed. So Florida State gets the ball first, leads to a turnover on downs. Very early, Mike Norvell, aggressive decision to go for it. They run a quarterback sneak, and it is stuffed. Nowhere to go. He tried to bounce it. Nowhere to go. Leads to a 42-yard. Jaquez Moore touchdown run just up the gut. Burnt the defense for a touchdown. Florida State, turnover on downs, 4th-and-1. Trey Benson tried to run it again. Stuffed. Leads to a 45-yard field goal. Florida State would then answer with a 7-yard touchdown pass to Keziah Holmes. Then Florida State's Jordan Travis would throw a pick six its ensuing drive to Chandler Rivers. Duke will go up 17-7. Defense is balling. This defense is looking lights out. It's looking like it's fitting the bill. Then FSU answers with a 99-yard deuce spawn touchdown. Kick return to the crib. Big momentum shift back into Florida State's favor. Duke's Riley Leonard would then throw an interception on his next drive, which leads to a 32-yard field goal to tie the game, set up by a Keon Coleman 30-yard catch. Keon Coleman, two receptions on the game, but when they were big-time, timely catches. Duke answers with a 33-yard field goal. Then Duke gets the ball to start the second half, but punts. Florida State gets the ball to start the second half. They punt. Duke gets the ball and drives all the way down the field, but Riley Leonard gets hurt on as he's trying to get rid of the ball. He gets hit, re-angles his ankle, leads to a fourth and goal at the 3, and Mike Elko goes for it with your backup, passes, has a guy kind of on the deep, on the back line, but he misses the throw. Henry Balvin, the fourth pass is incomplete. Turnover on downs. And Florida State would drive 96-97 yards for a 2-yard Jordan Travis touchdown run, set up by a 20-yard Jordan Travis run. Then FSU gets the ball back, scores a 21-yard touchdown pass to Lawrence Toafili on the screen, set up by a 24-yard Keon Coleman catch. Then this is where we get screwed. Duke gets the ball back. You're down 11. You're deep in your own territory. You have no legs on offense because Riley Leonard is hurt. Goes for it on 4th and 4. Deep in their own territory. Does not trust the defense for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe before they've been on the field too long. Whatever the case may be. Incomplete pass. Nowhere near being completed. Defender just swats it down. Sets up a 9-yard Rodney Hill touchdown run. So now Florida State goes up 38-20, and Duke gets the ball back with like 3.5 minutes left, and they don't even try to score. They just run the clock out. They went from, oh, let's try to score, let's do something stupid with no offense, to, we don't care, let's just run it out. Bruh, what are you doing? What are you doing? You had no let, whatever. Final score 38-20. Duke loses. Florida State wins another ranked game, still undefeated. Probably can make a case. Oh, no, you can't. You can't. Nope, they're still going to have to stay at 4 because Ohio State just beat 7th-ranked Penn State. Michigan won in dominant fashion against Michigan State. And Georgia was on the bye, so you're not going to drop them. Florida State still stays at 4. Now, Duke will drop. Riley Leonard, hopefully you are okay. But, boy, was I pissed off at Mike Elko last night. So, we'll move on. Utah at SC. I picked SC to win this game. And Utah, 14th ranked Utah wins it, 34 to 18th ranked SC, 32. Did not see Utah putting up 34 points. I did say, however, this SC defense will have to, this Utah offense, if it's a game where they can score, it will be against this SC defense. This SC defense is terrible. It is terrible. And Bryson Barnes balled out. They went to Bryson Barnes instead of Nate Johnson. We just received news, I think late last night or early this morning, that Cam Rising will not play this year. I think I mentioned it on Thursday that he won't play. So, no Cam Rising, so it's between Bryson Barnes and Nate Johnson for the rest of the year. But Utah gets a crazy win on the road at SC. Utah gets the ball first, scores a 53 Sione Vaki touchdown catch. Sione Vaki, major performance. Play both sides. Play safety. Play running back, play receiver, had a phenomenal game. SC answers with a 45-yard Marshawn Lloyd touchdown run. Then SC would score a 1-yard Zachariah Branch touchdown run. 51-yard Taj Washington catch set it up. So they like faked the run, had Zachariah Branch come motion. So they faked the run to the offense's right. Branch was coming in motion to the offense's left. They flipped it, pitched it to Branch, easy walking touchdown. Then Utah will answer with a 10-yard Bryson Barnes touchdown run. Okay. So, Miami is actually up next. and Michigan, I didn't preview the game, so I wasn't going to talk about it, but I'm going to touch on it a little bit. But I didn't preview it for honest, I mean, for obvious reasons. I didn't think the game would be a good one. I just was talking my trash. But nah, Miami and Clemson's up next. So after the Bryson Barnes touchdown run, with 7:41 left in the second quarter, Utah has a turnover on downs, 4th-and-1. Bryson Barnes runs for a loss of 1, but it just leads to a punt. Then that would be it for your first half. So your first half score is 14-14, set up by both of those touchdowns by each team. SC starts the second half with a 3-and-out punt. Utah starts the second half with a 6-yard Landon King touchdown catch, set up by a 22-yard catch by Money Parks. Then SC on the next drive, Marshawn Lloyd would fumble the rock. Utah would pick up the rock, and Sione Vaki would score a 15-yard touchdown catch on the next drive. But SC would answer with a 44-yard field goal, set up by another deep ball to Taj Washington, this one for 40 yards. Utah Bryson Barnes throws a pick six to Callen Bullock, but the 2-point is no good, so the score is now 28-23. Utah answers with a 33-yard field goal set up by Sione Vaki. Then SC will answer with a 36-yard field goal. This is due to a 11-yard loss. I think Caleb Williams fumbled the rock trying to throw the ball, but he falls on it, have to settle for 3. Then SC will score an 11-yard Caleb Williams touchdown run set up by a 61-yard punt return by Zachariah Branch, the explosive freshman. Utah obviously went to punt the ball. Branch returns to 61 yards. Caleb Williams will do the rest. And now they after missing the 2-point conversion, they're up 32-31. And I'm thinking, SC, do you have the defense to keep Utah out of field goal range? And the answer was no. Utah wins it on a 38-yard go-ahead walk-off field goal, set up by a 4th-and-1 conversion and a 26-yard Bryson Barnes run. Utah wins the game. Utah won a shootout. This is crazy. I was talking about how Utah can't generate offense. But, again, this was the defense to do so against. And they did it. Utah is now 3-0 in their last 3 against SC. And who's been the quarterback for all 3? Caleb Williams. They have Caleb Williams' number. He cannot beat this Utah team. Kyle Whittingham and his defense, they just get to them. They affect them. They can't stop them on offense either. Cam Rising, no Cam Rising. Utah wins again. This time on the road. SC, Caleb Williams, out of Heisman contention. SC, out of playoff contention. The only way SC can get back is through multiple losses that I don't see. LSU will have to lose multiple times. Georgia will have to lose multiple times. Alabama will have to lose multiple times. Oklahoma will have to lose multiple times. Michigan and Ohio State will have to have 2 L's. SC's out of it. They're out of it. Caleb Williams, you might as well get ready for the draft. I know you're saying that you want partial ownership in whatever team you're playing for, blah, blah, blah. It's not happening. Get over it. You might as well just start preparing to be an NFL player, bro. I get NIL. You probably make a lot of money. But SC's not going to do it. They're not going to do it. So we're going to go to our second to last game, the game that Miami fans have been waiting for because, hey, they finally got something to be happy about, and I'm not mad at them. We got Clemson at Miami. And Miami, in surprising, and I say surprising, fashion, wins the game. No Tyler Van Dyke on a 2-game losing streak. I think they haven't beat Clemson in a while. I do know that. But they get the W at home in double overtime. So we'll start. Clemson gets the ball first. Goes 3-and-out. Punts. Miami opens with a punt. Clemson, Will Shipley at the goal line. He just lost the ball. Fumbles the ball. He lays down. He tried to, like, fool the refs like he has it. So he just lays and looks. The dude, I can't remember brand name. The defender, though, however, is laying on top of the ball. He doesn't even feel the ball. He doesn't realize the ball is there. Gets up and sees it and tries to pick it up and score. And honestly, they should have let that play out because he didn't have possession of the ball when he was on the ground. He didn't get possession until after he got up. And they let him get up and run. That was a touchdown. But it didn't matter because Miami would then break an 80-yard run by 80-yard run by Breshad Smith, who then fumbles himself. He then fumbles himself, but Jacoby George is Johnny on the spot. and he picks it up in the end zone for the Miami touchdown. So that's a 14-point swing. 14-point swing. Miami prevents the touchdown, goes 80 yards, fumbles themselves, but they get the football, get the touchdown, go up 7-0. Then Clemson fumbles. Cade Klubnik is sacked, recovered by Miami, leads to a punt. But then Clemson will finally stop the mistakes and score a 32-yard Jake Bringenstuhl touchdown catch, set up by a 33-yard Antonio Williams catch. Then Cade Klubnik says, all right, I'll get back in my turnover bag. Throws an interception, leads to a Miami Avery Williams interception. So they just trade picks. Emery Williams, they trade picks. But that leads to a crazy ending of the first half. So after the pick, Clemson is set up in terrible territory. Cade Klubnik drops back the pass. He kind of like reverses out, but Miami is still there. Like, he sacks him. He brings him down. Now, he reverses out into the end zone. I think, honestly, that's a safety. But they called it. They said he was out the end zone. Part of the football was out the end zone. They reviewed it. They said it stood. I don't see how you make that stand. I thought it was clearly a safety. But I, at the time, had money on Clemson, so I wasn't mad at it. But that should have definitely been a safety on Cade Klubnik. Miami should have been up 9-7 going into the halftime. But instead, it's tied 7-7. So huge controversy there. Miami to start the second half goes 3-and-out. Clemson to start the second half gets a 40-yard field goal, set up by 28, Bo Collins catch. Miami then has a turnover on downs, 4th-and-2, passes complete but short of the first down, which leads to a Jake Bringenstuhl 19-yard touchdown catch. That whole drive, it was two catches to Jake Bringenstuhl, so that whole drive was him. Miami then answers with an 11-yard touchdown pass to Kobe Young. Go up and get it, young fella. One-on-one ball in the end zone. I'm just better than you. Then Miami scored a 38-yard field goal set up by a 25-yard Kobe Young catch. So he was huge late game. Miami gets the ball after, and they have a chance to not make this game to OT. But Mario Cristobal decides to go the conservative route. He just says, let's just take it to OT. I don't know if I would have did that. I don't know if I might agree with Mario here. Now, this is why I agree. You have a guy, I believe he's a freshman, first game ever against Clemson, game on the line. You cannot risk a mistake here to set Clemson up, especially how your last two games were. You see how the Georgia Tech game went. You see how the North Carolina game went. I think you stay conservative. I think he made the right choice. Go to OT. Let's win it in OT. Now, to start OT, Clemson gets a 31-yard field goal. Miami gets a 35-yard field goal. Miami gets the ball back to start double OT. Now, double OT, if you don't know college rules, you have to, if you get the touchdown, you have to go for two. Ain't no kicking the extra point. You got to go for two if you score. And Miami scores. Miami gets a 3-yard A.J. Allen touchdown run. Their two-point conversion was no good at first, but a penalty by Clemson makes them have to redo it. And they get the two-point conversion. So after they get the two, Clemson gets the ball, and they can do absolutely nothing in double OT. Defense shuts them down. I'm wrong. Excuse me. I'm so wrong. They get down to the goal line. I'm so wrong here. They get down to 4th-and-goal, and they run, what was it, like a fake toss? I think they ran like a fake toss to Will Shipley and try to get Cade Klubnik to the wide side. And Miami was ready for it. They bring them down for like a 4-yard loss, win the game in double OT. Miami fought back. They showed fight. They showed heart. Miami definitely showed why they're a better team this year. They knocked off the rest of the Georgia Tech game. They knocked off the North Carolina game. Defense, when they had to, got stops. Offense, when they had to, made plays. Kobe Young made plays. Didn't really see too much of Xavier Restrepo. But, man, these running backs, they found lanes, exploited them. Just a great game in general. Good game by Miami. Clemson now has 3 losses. Dabo said they could win 10. Can't win 10 no more. Only time they can get 10 is if they go to a bowl game, which they will go, but it won't be the bowl game he wants. So we'll get into our last game of the night, we have Georgia State at Louisiana Lafayette. And I picked Georgia State to win as 3.5-point dogs, and they won outright. Final score was 20-17. Not too much on this game. Georgia State gets the ball first, and they fumble at the one. Marcus Carroll uncharacteristically fumbles at the one, but it leads to a 3-and-out punt. Then Louisiana, we get the ball after they get the ball back and miss a 42-yard field goal, which leads to a 24-yard touchdown pass to Amon Green for Georgia State. The point after would be no good. Georgia State then scores a 3-yard touchdown pass to Amon Green, set up by a 49-yard Marcus Carroll run. Then Georgia State would score Mikhail Calasadro, because Darren Granger did get hurt in this game. He did come back, but he got hurt. He gets sacked. He fumbles. Oh, excuse me. Hold on. I'm missing one. Georgia State went up 20-0. Georgia State, when Darren Granger got hurt, scored on that drive. It was a 3-yard Mikhail Calasadro touchdown run set up by Marcus Carroll. He just had endless runs that drive. Then Mikhail Calasadro gets sacked and fumbles, which leads to a 3-yard Jacob Kibode touchdown run. My bad. Louisiana starts the second half with a 23-yard field goal. Then Georgia State starts the second half with a 3-and-out punt. Louisiana scores a 2-yard Terrence Carter touchdown catch after converting a 4th-and-2. Then with 30 seconds left in the game, Zion Chris throws an interception in the red zone, had 3 points secured to go to overtime, throws a pick, and that leads to the end of the game. Georgia State was shut out in the second half. Georgia State offense looked terrible in the second half, even with Darren Granger back in the game. Offense didn't look great. Louisiana Tech offense found something against Georgia State. They were moving the ball up and down the field. I think they punted like once that game. No, I lied. Because this was the game where it was 5 punts in between the last score and the end of the game. 5 punts before in between Louisiana's last touchdown and the interception thrown. But Louisiana, man, had a chance to either win it or send it to overtime late. Through the terrible interception, Georgia State escapes with the dub. Still only one loss on the year. That one loss was to Troy, which Troy is a phenomenal Sun Belt team. Georgia State is still in the mix for the Sun Belt Championship. JMU is still the best team in the Sun Belt, however. Now, we're going to move on to major performances before I touch on some games. Major performances. Our first one, Dean Connors of Rice, running back. 9 carries, 120 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 catches for 20 yards. Jalen Green, defensive lineman for James Madison. 6 tackles, 5 of which are sacks. 5 sacks. Marvin Harrison Jr., they were calling him Maserati Marv. 11 catches, 162 yards, and a touchdown. Kai Robichaud for Boston College, running back. 21 carries, 165 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 catches for 54 yards. Bucky Irvin, running back for Oregon. 15 carries, 129 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 catches for 54 yards, and a no, excuse me, 3 catches for 51 yards and a touchdown. So 3 total touchdowns for the Oregon Ducks running back. Ollie Gordon, running back for Oklahoma State. 29 carries. For 282 yards and 4 touchdowns. Have a game, Ollie Gordon. Tez Walker, 11 catches for 146 yards and a touchdown for UNC. But I got to go to the winner's side as well. Malik Washington, he's been here before. 12 catches, 115 yards and a touchdown and an upset win over 10th-ranked UNC. Sion Vaki, 9 carries, 68 yards, 5 catches, 149 yards, and 2 touchdowns, along with 2 tackles on defense for the safety on Utah. And I have a special major performance to the Nevada defense. Shout out San Diego State, 6-0, to end a 16-game losing streak. What a way to lose end the losing streak. So shout out to them. They now finally get a win, finally get to celebrate. Shout out performance by the defense. So shout out to them. Now, before I wrap this up, I just want to talk about some a couple games throughout the country that I didn't preview or recap. We got Washington State was in a close one. Won the game 15-7 against Arizona State. Just nasty work coming off of a huge win against Oregon. That was a letdown. That may drop them in the polls. They were five, looking outside of five. That may drop them. Oklahoma might go back to five. Also, wanted to talk about the upset. North Carolina, Virginia. Terrible, terrible upset. Can't happen at home. Cannot happen. All right, here we go. Anyway, can't happen. Cannot happen. Drake May throws the game-losing interception. He's definitely going to take a shot there for his Heisman. Michael Penix has zero touchdowns, two picks. He's going to take a shot there for his interception. Oops, messed that up. Got to talk about my boys. Got to talk about my Michigan State boys. 49-0. That was embarrassing. Couldn't even score. Every time we got a drive going, we would shoot ourselves in the foot. We just look bad. Couldn't get off the field. Had them facing multiple third and longs, and they were just converting. Looked absolutely terrible. Makes Michigan look better than what they are. But we all know what Michigan is. They're going to look good against the bad teams. They're going to look good against the Big Ten. Soon as they make the playoffs, if they make the playoffs, they're going to lose. It's just the Michigan way. They're going to choke. So, terrible loss there, but I'm not worried. Michigan's not going to win the Natty. They're going to lose. So, that's what they do. They lose. Think that's all the games I really want to. Oh, no. I wanted to touch on this Minnesota-Iowa game. Iowa got robbed. Cooper DeJean down 12-10, last minute of the game, returns the punt for a touchdown. They called it back saying he signaled for a fair catch. I don't know when this became a fair catch. I think he was telling his guys to move. But they called it back, and Minnesota gets a pick, and Iowa loses the game. Iowa now will be unranked again. I think they got robbed. I think they got screwed. Cooper DeJean, the best return man in the game. When they needed a play, he made it a play. And it won't count. And it sucks. Good for Wisconsin, however, because they win their game. They're now tied with Iowa, I believe, in Big Ten West standings. So that's the one loss that I didn't think Iowa would have that helps out Wisconsin for my Big Ten West prediction. And the last game I wanted to touch on, where is it? Oh, give me 1 second. I forgot the game that fast. I did want to touch on another game. I guess we'll touch on Texas and Houston. Houston made Texas struggle. Houston made Texas fight. I don't know. Texas might drop because of this. I know Alabama's going to rise. Ole Miss is going to rise. SEC is probably at three teams in the top 10 after this week. But that's really all I got for y'all this week. I will be back Monday or Tuesday, depending how, you know, life and work goes, to preview the weekday. And I might touch on some college basketball because college basketball is in 2 weeks. But I'm for sure going to recap preview the weekday slate we have coming up. But I appreciate everyone for watching. Appreciate everyone that tuned in. And I will see y'all Monday or Tuesday. Peace.
Thank you for staying to the end. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video, subscribe, and also hit that notification button so you can be notified next time we put out a video. If you're listening on any podcast platform, subscribe and hit that notification button, y'all, so you can be notified we put out another podcast audio. And last but not least, hit that share button. No matter what you're listening to or watching it, hit that share button and send it to somebody that you know that would love to watch this episode you just listened to. So once again, thank you for staying to the end, and we'll see y'all the next episode.